This recording, Holocaust 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, there's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job. This is her private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her gift, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, but this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Come on, come on," which Sarah thought was an old choice of her name. Come on, but was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently striking the goose lower back with her palm, then singing a tone to her. Finally she administered either. Her efforts were not fertile. In no time the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold in the camera and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bait the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet diagnosis almost immediately. She remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of a penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Hitler came into Poland September 1st, 1939. My parents said, "Moshe, you young boy," I was 20 years old, "the best thing for you to go to Warsaw." Warsaw was 48 kilometers from Myshchanów to Warsaw. It's not easy to drive 48 kilometers. I said, the Polish tanks running into Warsaw. I grabbed a tank. We had to stop on the road because there was bombarding the tanks. So all the soldiers ran to the side of the road, and I did too. I left the bike lane. And then when it took off again, I got back home. They didn't bother me. They wanted to help me. Okay. We came into Warsaw. This was the worst place to be. There was bombarding hospitals. Everything. It was 2,000 people. The same street Karmelitsky saying. Kamelitska 10 was a Catholic hospital called Świętego Ducha. I was young, so when the bombs fell and the building was on fire, I ran in to save some people. Some of them I could manage myself, was not busted, and some of them was broken arms and broken legs. They had to take a stretcher, two of us. There were 7 of us, like me. One got killed by the bombs. Short little story, I was there till the 27th of September. They bumped day and night. We had to go for a bucket of water. We had to go 3 miles. Not clear water, just dirty water from the river. And they lived till the 27th of September. Before the war broke out, the same week, I went down with my father in the basement. You see, your uncle, Max's father, used to deal with grain and flour. I started buying grain. I had a brother, Meyer, you remember Meyer. And he lent me $1,000 and I started buying grain when they took off the trap. And I hold on to it 3-4 months and I made 30% on the money. This was going on every year. And I accumulate 4,800 zlotys. My father and I, before the war broke out, I went down to the basement with a shovel because we put this in a glass jar in the foundation. The building went down to nothing because a Polish soldier threw a grenade in a jeep of a German Gestapo General Spielfeld, and he got killed. So that made everybody get out in the middle of the market and put a match to it. Whatever my parents worked for 40 years went down in one night. This was just the whole city like this. So they took the money out from the foundation, from the jar, we had the jar. And I came from Warsaw, you couldn't get a loaf of bread. So the best thing for me, I'll buy flour, and my parents find a room at the farmer's house, which was a mile away from town. That's where Pesa and I, Alex and Maya, and my wife, saved our lives. They rent out a room there, and he had a couple of horses. Couldn't get any guests. So I started with 2 horses. I went in like American bags of flour, 70 bags of flour. I tripled my money. Couldn't get a lot of bread and water. I was 2 days home. I go back to Warsaw with 4 horses. I started with 2 horses, showed the story. I involved the whole village. And I lined up with 14 horses in the time, 500 and 600 bags of flour. I made a lot of money. All that money I made, I gave it to my mother. Mother was the boss. It was crying when I came home from Rose. I was 20 years old. I said, Mom, don't cry. And Daddy, don't cry. I'll prove it to you. I'm old enough to make a living. I was not a 20-year-old boy, I was a 50-year-old man, with my mind. Short of the story, I had to carry flour-lit horses till they got gasoline. It was not easy to find torch with gasoline. So, my mother was alive. She died the 19th of April, 1940. She prepared the whole building to put us back together. And we did. I took Charlie and Herschel and Louise to Poland. We stayed and made pictures of this house, of the building. 4 bedrooms upstairs, a bakery, a kitchen downstairs, and a store, a bakery store, and paid cash for it. I was old. At that time I was 20 years old in 4 months. What else can I tell you? Now, after this, we had a cousin Mendel. His grandfather was a brother to my mother. Mendel was in concentration camp. I was freed by the Russians January 16th. So Pesa say with Alex, you better not get out, get down, because they're going to take us for spies. We have no documents, we have nothing. And this would happen. So we sit in the barn, on the top of the barn, another 5 days. They didn't go down till the 25th. Then the Balchi was already a day before there. So he came in, Balchi was already there. No, she slept with Kultas on our barn. And I told her exactly what to do. And she saved her whole family. 8 people. Like, now, and after this, they got the mill. So Alex operated the mill. And I gave all the grain dealers money Wednesday night, whatever Tuesday comes, Tuesday was a market day. Whatever comes from grain in the city goes for me. They all bought for me. This was going on maybe for about 3 months. Then I had to sell flour to different bakeries. So I bought myself a motorcycle. So if I have to go collect money, 15 miles, 20 miles, it's easy. My wife Sylvia would say to me, this motorcycle ran you out of town. They came at night, asked Pastor, she'll remember that. They came at night, there was 5 people of us, what we say, through the war. Essen, Alexander, my brother, my wife, and me. So they came in the middle of the night, after 12 o'clock. If I don't leave town, they kill me. I had arranged already 7 wagons for 14 horses to go to Warsaw with flour. So I lined them all up like nice. Like a one all together. They was going and I left town. They all left town except Alex. They didn't bother him because he had nothing to do with this. He was in the mill. But they were gonna kill me. And we went into Lodz. We bought a bakery. And it was all partners between Alex and me. I had 17 bakers. Baked around the clock. I had, this was a union shop, but Sadowski, the president from the union, was my buddy. He used to come to me, so I went and have lunch with him in a restaurant. And we made up, he's going to holler at me and I holler at him. And that thought, this is a beautiful deal. And he hollered like crazy. This was just a show, I was like, okay. I'll never forget. They ran a beautiful operation. Then start getting bad in Amshinov. So it was bad for his father. So we came in, he came into Lodz. Every Saturday was payroll. They didn't pay by checks in Poland. Everybody got an envelope with the cash, whatever happened, and I was so young, I was a youngster, I was 25, 26 years old. They came in, and they put a gun to my head after they all gone home. And they all got the payroll, they went home, he comes in with a gun put to my head, give me all the money. I said, I'll give you all the money, I'll show you exactly where the money is. Take all the money and get out of here. Don't kill me. In Polish, I talked to him. Forget about it. I'm not even going to call the police. Nobody will know about it. Forget it. 2 days later, they had Milton already. It was 1946. I carried Milton on my back, on my shoulders. He was about a year old. And we went across from Poland, Pauline, Alex, me, and my wife. Not my, Maya left. In the meantime, I was dealing with the Marshall Club. I don't know how much you know about the Marshall Plan in this country. General Marshall has sent food to Poland. I got acquainted with the number one man who was in charge of this. He was sitting at my wedding. This is hard to believe what we went through to come to the United States. See? This is Wojciechowski. I'll show it to you. Come here. You see here, this was my wedding. This man was a goy. And he spoke Jewish just like me. Exactly like me, that good. He got a liking to me. I made bakers, I made them for salesmen to go around the bakeries to buy this American flour, because the American flour made a difference loaf of bread. And he received trailers and trailers and warehouses. So he used to ride me out. An order. I went to the warehouse and picked up the order. And he was my partner. He 25, 26 years old. This was Wojciechowski. He loved me, this guy. Meyer, after I left, my brother Meyer, because Leo was already in Czechoslovakia, and we went to Austria, and then we lined up in Germany. My brother Meyer said, Moshe could do this for a year and a half. Why shouldn't I do it? On the first time he went to do it, they put him in jail for 6 months. You see, I didn't do it myself. I had protection to do it. If he was my body, I'd have to worry for nobody, because he was the main man. And Meyer was in jail for 6 months. I finally got Meyer out of jail. I took him illegal from Poland to Czechoslovakia. Austria, Salzburg, Austria. And I made arrangements at the border. I hang around there for 3-4 days. And when I got him across to the German border, I said, you keep your mouth shut, don't even open your mouth. Number one, he didn't know how to speak German. And they're going to have a headache. But I couldn't hold him down. He started talking. I said, but it's a vacuum. They're going to get killed here. So he shut up. I took him back. He stayed with us there in the same camp where Pauline was with us. You can ask me anything you want. I was a bright youngster, very bright. And they built up the building. You know all about it. As a person, my mother bought all the material. She died. She died in April. 1940. Would you believe I didn't have any place where to put my mother when she died? Because no. So finally find a friend of mine what I used to deal. But that what Alex used to run that mill. So somebody after Alex left, Apollo took over. When I went with Hershey and Charlie and Louise to Poland, I went into that mill. They were shaky. They were scared to death. I come to take back the mill. Ask Charlie. He was shaking in his boots. Go ahead, you can ask me anything you want.
And that was great. That was perfect. Michael Morris, thank you. Thank you.
You see, all the books you read about the Holocaust, a lot of things is not there. For example, a Pestalozzi was a ghetto. Jewish people can be in the ghetto outside from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock, 1 hour. And from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 5, 1 hour. The rest of the time they all have to be in the building if they come for Siedlung. This means they take out the people to the Umschlagplatz to go to Treblinka, to crematoriums. So they passed a law any policeman should bring five people, doesn't matter how, a child, an older, whatever, if not they get killed. I got a note from Pauline. She writes a beautiful Polish, she writes a beautiful Jewish too, with English too. I got a letter from her. She's in an attic in a six-story building. There was 37 Jews. I got a high-ranking Gestapo officer. I held on to his coat because we couldn't be in the street between just 8 and 9. And police say to me, she's got a bag on Geisha 7. This was quite a distance to walk. But when you're young, you don't care, you go. So I went to pick up that bag, and she had a red coat and gold sewed in in the shoulders. And she wore that red coat. So after we come down, start walking back to the place where he was, a jeep with four German officers, and the hollow hand hoch, this means pick up your arms. Alex, he didn't have the bag on his back, and he saw it, and he managed to escape in a tall building and get lost. They didn't find. But me, they called the Jewish policeman. There was 2,300 Jewish police in the Warsaw ghetto. They used to come in to me for a few loaves of bread, a little oil, a little that, a little this. So I got the note the same day when I got cut. I had Pauline out on the Gentile side. It used to be before the war, the Russian embassy. That German officer became my buddy. I mean a buddy. Do you know he opened the door for me and my wife to get out? You must get out tonight, otherwise you're all going to get killed. This was the second time around. I went with Alex and Pauline. I rented a closed truck, and went to the farm. So Sylvia didn't want to stay there, so she made me go back with her. And we almost got killed. Then we come back, and they were sitting, they didn't move. Then we came back, and so I came up to pick up Pauline and Alex. It was 37 Jews, Balcha with the whole family. And I said to the German officer, all I'm going to take from this group, two people. This is my sister and my brother. Would you believe he didn't touch any Jew there? He never got back there because of me. I told him, don't bother me about it. He didn't. So in the end, the second time I came, had to run away from Warsaw, he opened the door for me and he said, you have transportation? I said, no, but I will have transportation. So he offered me his jeep to take me any place I want to go. I told him, get a death hat here. This was Gestapo. It's hard to believe. But he liked me so much, and I could do anything that I wanted. Now, he's a little bit too young. He loved Jewish girls. So I supplied him. To save your life. What the difference what you're doing? Yeah. We went one time with a truck into the ghetto. I used to buy suits in silk and materials. And all new shirts and this and that. People was waiting for me. He used to come to Miller 18. If you have a chance ever to find this book, read it. I think Rachel has it. And I made up with him, he's going to come there to load up everything. we lowered at 6 o'clock, we lowered up everything under torch. There was 8 gates in the Warsaw Ghetto. We come to, before we went to the gate, about 1,000 yards away, he took out his pistol, put it to my head. When we come to the gate, the salute is